Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life Rewired podcast. Thank you guys for joining us on this Sunday, January 9th, 2022. And before we begin, this podcast is brought to you by our people at Visionary Meals. Visionary Meals is a local meal prepping service in the Columbus, Ohio area. And we love this specific service because they allow you to configure your meals to your specific calories and macros, as well as customize meals in general. On top of that, you guys know that protein is one of the most important macronutrients we can consume, and Visionary does a great job of allowing you to add upwards of 8 to 10 ounces of protein per meal, while most other meal services cap their protein off at much lower amounts. If you use our code RELENTLESSTRAINING10, you guys will get 10% off of your entire order. And this podcast is also brought to you by the Relentless Training mobile app. With the monthly app subscription, you guys get access to daily on-demand workouts from 6 completely different training programs, including strength and conditioning, high-intensity interval strength training, power building, cross training, bodybuilding, and body weight only. And for our listeners, you guys will get $10 off the life of your subscription using code LIFERewired10. And today we have a new sponsor coming to the table, which is Athletic Greens. This is a supplement that we take, and we believe that Athletic Greens is the simplest way to get all of the necessary daily vitamins and minerals in just one scoop. On top of that, you are going to get the antioxidant level of 10 to 12 servings of fruits and vegetables, which, you know, not many of us have the ability to get this amount of servings in a day. So this is just a great way to fill in the gaps. And with our partner offer, you guys can get 5 free travel packs and a 1-year supply of vitamin D and K2 with your order of Athletic Greens. So we'll make sure to have all of the discount codes in the show notes. And for today's topic, we are going to be talking to you guys about really how to just simplify your nutrition in general. You know, this is a topic that both Christina and I are very passionate about, which will obviously show throughout the podcast. For me, I know this is something I struggled with in the past, and I know at various points in Christina's life, you know, it's something that she struggled with. And we are really just going to gift you guys all the things that we wish we would have known so many years ago. That will hopefully help, you know, a lot of you guys out there moving forward. But, you know, the main reason people abandon their health and fitness goals is because they're really just overcomplicating their nutrition. We're really here to help you guys create a strong foundation of both knowledge and habits when it comes to your nutrition so that your routine can be simple yet effective. In today's episode, we're going to share our top nutrition tips, a glimpse into our personal routines, and how to set yourself up for long-term success in order to reach your goals in your nutrition. So I think, you know, first and foremost, before we even dive into the bulk of this content, I really think it's important just to really define and lay out a definition of what is healthy. You know, this term is thrown around like crazy. I know certain generations focus on other, you know, basically fundamental things when it comes to being so-called healthy versus other generations. You know, we're all kind of grown and groomed in our own, you know, point in time and point in life to believe and think certain things about, you know, what is healthy? What does that even mean? Like how are we healthy? How can we be healthy? And, you know, me and Christina just really put together the idea of consuming more whole foods, less processed, and really finding a way to balance moderation and not doing anything too excessive. You know, we see a lot of clients coming to us who are doing great, who are eating, you know, whole foods most of the time, less processed foods, but sometimes some of these healthy foods can really add up from a caloric standpoint. You know, while they're not necessarily unhealthy in excess, they can become essentially unhealthy for you. So really, you know, our definition of healthy is just, you know, 1% better whole foods, less processed, and nothing really too excessive, and keeping things really in moderation in general. And that really kind of segues us perfectly into, you know, our first topic to really look out for, and that's green labeling. So, you know, a lot of health foods and foods that you guys will walk past in the store do a really good job of marketing to your attention and showing, you know, a healthy, basically, marketing label on the front. When in reality, if you really never look at the back and you really never get an idea on what the ingredients look like or the macro list, you know, you guys aren't going to really know where you're at when consuming that food. So that's why, you know, we really recommend, no matter what it is you guys are buying at the store or getting, always look at number one, the ingredient list, and number two, the macro list.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of food companies will also put that a product is high protein if it has 5 grams of protein. So if you guys have health and fitness related goals, you're obviously going to need more than 5 grams of protein for that meal. So something to look out for also is just, on the front of the label, the minimum requirements to label something as, quote, healthy or low sodium or high protein is, like, very inaccurate in my eyes. So a couple ingredients to look out for, and this is obviously if you have, you know, a basic understanding of ingredient labels, this is, like, the next layer to add. For us, we want to make sure our gut health is on point, our digestion is on point, and that our long-term brain health is also on point. And so a couple main ones to look out for if you have any stomach issues: natural flavor, natural artificial flavors, dyes, caramels, high fructose corn syrup, GMOs, you really want to look out for, as well as aspartame. It's in a lot of sugar-free items. And then something we all need to look out for in form of processed foods, this is in a lot of packaged food, processed foods, are carrageenan, inflammatory oils such as sunflower oil. That's in, like,
that's in so much.
Yeah, everything we buy from Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, like, you'll buy popcorn and it will have sunflower oil, and it's has a lot of negative effects on your body and your brain.
Highly processed oils, yeah. And a lot of, like, you know, protein bars and things have those. That's another thing, guys. Yeah. Like, I would say majority of, you know, protein bar companies and things like that really use a lot of these oils and fillers and just processed fillers in general in their foods and in their products. So just definitely look out for those on the ingredient list if you're consuming protein powders, protein bars, those kind of things.
Yeah, gums are one that you really need to look out for. I have switched, like, in the past year, probably, like, 8 different proteins, trying to find one without artificial, quote, natural flavors and gums, because that, if you have any stomach issues, which I feel like a lot of females do, bring the female perspective, but gums are something that almost every single supplement company has in them, so definitely something to look out for. It's, like, guar gum and xanthan gum and things like that. We also wanted to kind of go into, while we're talking about, like, simplifying your meals and kind of nailing down, like, our definition of healthy, we just kind of wanted to show you guys, like, how simple our go-to meals are. Yeah. So we kind of eat, like, the same thing, but, like, we'll give kind of both perspectives. Obviously, my portion sizes are a bit different. I work from home. Zach, we cook in the same house, everything, but he eats, you know, he brings his food to the gym. He eats triple what I eat. Yeah. So we'll kind of share our go-to meals. You can kick it off, and then I'll share mine.
Yeah, so I pretty much start every day with athletic greens, like we talked about. Something that helps a lot is to have those athletic greens, you know, on an empty stomach first thing, right when you wake up, to get a lot of those vital nutrients that are going to help with energy, mental clarity, things like that. Because again, like we talked about, you know, in the beginning, those athletic greens are jam-packed with antioxidants, their superfood, you know, green complexes, as well as all of your, you know, daily vitamins and minerals that you guys need to get on a daily basis. So that's why, you know, I personally love athletic greens. I just throw one scoop in, you know, hit it, and that's pretty much all I have to do for that. And then I'll typically, you know, start obviously hydrating and things like that. But my first meal doesn't really happen until about anywhere between 8 and 10 a.m. I'll have, you know, a 2-scoop protein shake. And then a couple hours after, around like lunchtime, I'll do protein oats, which is pretty much just a cup of steel, or what are they called again?
I think they're rolled oats, like old-fashioned rolled oats.
The rolled oats. So yeah, I'll do that with 2 scoops of protein. So I'm getting a solid carb and protein source, you know, toward the morning and beginning of the day. As I, you know, segue into, you know, more of my clients, I'll be on my feet more, and I'll probably get a workout in, you know, shortly after that. And then when I come home, my lunch typically consists of quinoa, as well as it's about, you know, 2 cups of quinoa and 10 eggs. I do 10 eggs with my quinoa. I personally just use this. Again, you guys can rearrange, you know, macros how you'd like. I personally like to get a ton of my protein from my eggs. So that's around anywhere between that 8 to 10 egg amount is what I'm doing with lunch with my quinoa. And then at night we'll use, you know, probably salmon most of the time as our main protein source, you know, circulate that with, you know, chicken, sometimes steak, other, you know, proteins. And we'll always, you know, pair that with a ton of vegetables. You know, we do get pretty much everything that we need from our green supplements, but you know, you still want to obviously be having a lot of those vegetables present in your diet, as well as fruits too. So having those fruits and vegetables, you know, as a part of your diet as well. So we make sure to get, you know, a ton of those in our dinner. But yeah, that's what a typical day looks like for me. You know, I eat anywhere between, you know, 2,900 to about 3,000 calories. And that has me in my cutting phase right now. And that is made up by 300 grams of protein, 150 grams of carbs, and around I'd have to look. I think it's like 90 to 100 of fats, but it's like 115 fats, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah. Basically, a lot of protein. So, girls listening, obviously, you don't have to eat 10 eggs. That is for his goals and his body, yeah, which is why we're sharing both. But I feel like you've done a lot better job adding protein or fruits and veggies to your routine that is primarily protein heavy.
Yes.
I met you.
Yeah.
But I will say my routine is very similar. I start my day off with greens before I drink any coffee or pre workout. We're both doing Celsius for our pre-workout. We shop at Costco for all these groceries. So,
which real quick, we should probably just say, like, watch out for most of the energy drinks. You know, that's something that we've been really conscious about lately. I know I was on the Alani Nu craze to start out. And then obviously, you know, we researched some of those ingredients, probably not the best, you know, a lot of gums, a lot of artificial sweeteners.
Yeah.
And Celsius is probably the closest you're going to get to, you know, the healthiest option when it comes to energy drinks like that, that are caffeinated, because it really only has about 5 ingredients. Only one really to look out for is just the sucralose, but other than that, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And so I'll do my greens pre-workout. I drink a gallon a day, but for meals, I always start my day off with either protein oats or protein shake. Like I've said a million times, I have a lot of food intolerances. I cannot have eggs, which takes out a lot of, or dairy, takes out a lot of breakfast options for me. So I finally found like my go-to, and that's when I do my protein. And with plant-based protein, something to look out for, it's obviously less protein because it's plant-based. So there's about 20 grams of protein, and I like to get 30 to 35 grams of protein minimum per meal for me. I take my protein goal, divide it by 3 meals, possibly a snack, and that helps me hit my protein goal. But with plant-based protein, I'll have to do like the serving's usually 2 scoops. I'll do 3, which is about 35 grams of protein, 30 to 35, and then I'll have oats, nut butter, fruit in there. And then for my lunch, I always do, we're on a chicken meatball kick or chicken thigh with quinoa, similar lunch to Z. We have the quinoa, but a different protein source, basically. And then for dinner, we have salmon and vegetables. And something I wanted to add was, don't overcomplicate it. A lot of people don't like vegetables. If you put them in the air fryer and you find like one go-to vegetable, like just stay consistent with it. And just have a vegetable with each meal. I really love throwing cucumbers in my lunch. We have asparagus or zucchini and squash in the air fryer. And then for protein bars, I will do either an IQ bar, which is amazing, amazing ingredients and a lot of fiber, like 12 grams of protein, and then Aloha bars. So those are dairy-free protein alternatives if you need them. But that's kind of what our go-to meals kind of look like. And then with the next tip we kind of wanted to bring you guys to when it comes to simplifying your nutrition, obviously we have those go-to meals, and the number one thing that makes it so easy for us is I will straight up come into my FitnessPal in the morning and pre-log my food, and I just copy and paste from the day before, Monday through Friday. We're creatures of habit. Not everyone is like that, but I'll just copy and paste my meals from the day before and say, like, this is my to-do list for my day when it comes to nutrition. And that's what helps myself, Zach, and a lot of our clients succeed, is pre-logging your food. Essentially, that just means you're waking up in the morning and you're tracking what you want. You basically take your protein goal, divide it into those 3 meals, and then create a menu of sorts for what you want to eat that day.
Yeah, because they'll save in most fitness logs.
Yeah. And then you can also go in at this point and you can see, like, okay, I need to add a little more protein. I'll just increase the amount of eggs I'm eating with my breakfast. Or I need a little less carbs. I'll pull a cup of quinoa out, maybe have one instead of 2. But if you log as you go, you get to the end of the day, and this is what we like to call playing on the defense. You have 0 calories left and like 100 grams of protein. At that point, you can't really do anything to fix it but move on to the next day and call it a loss, basically. So this prevents you from getting to the end of the day and having gaps in your nutrition. If you pre-log, like, there's no reason you're not going to hit your targets.
Yeah, exactly. And while we're, you know, on the topic of tracking and pre-logging and all those things, we see a ton of tracking mistakes. So first and foremost, you know, the first step is literally just to start tracking. So if you are a beginner out there, like, don't get discouraged by the things we're about to say. You know, starting just by tracking what you're normally doing can be huge. You know I start with a lot of clients that way. You know, I have them just track what they're already doing. Like, I know I had a male client this past week who, you know, we thought our numbers were a lot higher. Turns out, you know, after a week of tracking, we're getting, you know, less than 100 grams of protein. And it was shocking for the client and myself because, you know, we're both like, wow, like, we were not expecting it to be that low, but we would have never known that unless you were tracking. So again, that's definitely the first step. But, you know, understanding what you guys are truly eating, you know, is so, so crucial, because, you know, we see a lot of people will, you know, highly, highly underestimate, you know, how much they are consuming, while on the flip side, a lot of people will heavily underestimate how much they're, you know, not consuming, like how little they're consuming as well. So it really does go, you know, both ways. And, you know, tracking can be the number one way to figure out exactly where you're at and where you need to go and where you, what you need to basically change in order to reach your goals. And you guys got to just be honest with yourself. You know, a lot of times people can get in the habit of tracking, you know, a couple days and, you know, in our, we're all human in our minds. We think, oh, we're doing it. We're nailing it. We're healthy. Like, why aren't we getting results yet? You know, but you forget about those two, three, sometimes maybe even four other days of the week that you might not have tracked accurately. Maybe you only got, you know, three meals in or out of your four, or maybe you didn't, you know, necessarily record some of those drinks that you ended up having. So just being really honest with yourself and your tracking, I see a direct correlation to results start happening, you know, when people do finally decide like, hey, I am going to lock in. I'm going to trust the process. I'm going to dive into it. I'm going to track what I'm doing. I'm going to make corrections where I can. And that consistency is what's going to yield results. And you can only find out that consistency where you're either missing or where you're on track if you are doing that legwork, if you are putting in those meals, if you are putting in, you know, what it is that you consume, because it can be very easy to underestimate or overestimate. I know, you know, talking from personal experience, I, you know, was trying to make significant physical goals in my life and physical changes. And I was getting really frustrated when things weren't working in my favor. And I had to really, you know, be honest with myself and reflect, am I truly tracking everything? Am I truly tracking that, you know, late night, you know, munchy, nut butter that I want, or the peanut butter? Because some of those little things that are, like we said, healthy can be unhealthy when consumed in excess. They can throw you wildly over your macros. And when we talk about healthy, that's just like, it's really hard to digest. It's hard to basically have your body respond to like that high volume of, you know, fats in general. So it's like, that's a good example of just how your body's going to react depending on, you know, how much of it you are consuming as well. So
moderation is so important. Yeah. Obviously we're not demonizing any foods on today's podcast. It's just all moderation and, you know, accuracy of tracking. And a big mistake I see, and I used to make this myself, is eyeballing or like using measuring cups instead of the scale. It's like very, very inaccurate. You use just measuring cups or just like eyeball, you know, that looks like 4 ounces of protein when really it's probably less, and then you're not hitting your protein goal. Or you're doing like 4 tablespoons of nut butter instead of 2. But if you put it on the food scale and just zero it out, pull out 2 tablespoons, 1 serving, you will be within your calorie goal versus being in a 200 calorie surplus every day.
That was like us with the rotisserie chicken. Like we thought we, you know, we eyeballed rotisserie chicken for a long time, and we were both kind of like, you know, what's going on? Like we're kind of both at that maintenance level, you know, when we both think we're in a deficit. And then we really started breaking out the scale, and like we realized we were in a surplus. Like we were heavily overeating the rotisserie chicken without weighing it, because it can be very misleading, you know, from an eyeballing standpoint.
Yeah, and we're like pretty experienced with tracking, I would say. So like you don't have to track forever, like weigh forever, but until you get comfortable doing it. And like I feel like I'm at the point where I can eyeball, because I've been doing this since 2012. That's when my fitness pal was created, I think. And even I was like viewing this chicken and being like, oh, this is the right serving size. And we were probably logging this grilled chicken too, which is wildly inaccurate compared to rotisserie. So something that will help you guys out if you're busy, like rotisserie's a lot quicker to like just pull apart, throw in the skillet, it's already cooked, versus grilled chicken. But the fat content and protein are very different between the two. So that's another mistake you could be making, is like weighing your chicken or like logging it as raw when it's actually cooked. Like those small things do add up over time.
And the serving sizes, like that's another big thing, is really paying attention to the serving sizes that are on the packaging, like the macros on the packaging, because that can really make a huge difference. Like we've had foods that we've been really, you know, aware of, that, you know, they're the exact same food. Like the popcorn is a good example. Like you can go in the store and find, you know, one bag of popcorn in the chip aisle that, you know, might be 1200 to 1500 calories for the whole bag. And you can find others that are 400 or 500 for the whole bag. So it's like really paying attention to the serving sizes, you know, can be a big, you know, deal breaker for a lot of you guys. Cause I know that it's easy again to get green labeled, see something, oh, it says healthy, organic, bang, throw it in the cart. And then, you know, you're eating it, and that could be, you know, the one source of overconsumption or, you know, pulling you away from your goals. So it's just good to be mindful of, again, at the end of the day, just how much you're consuming, what you're consuming, what are those things made of? What are the ingredients?
Yeah, and the last part of tracking too is just like making sure you log everything. Like a lot of people think that certain things don't count, like sauces or liquid calories. So your coffee, that is added up into your daily calories. If you get something from Starbucks, 10 times out of 10, there's calories in it. Unless it's black coffee.
It's like 5 calories for black coffee.
Yeah. So no matter what you're drinking, if it's liquid calories, if it's alcohol, if it's a seltzer, like those may say they're like zero macros, but those 100 calories have to come from somewhere. And, you know, that comes from your daily calorie intake. So people are kind of just like having these like free foods. Yeah. Really, you're eating like 500 calories or drinking.
Or not, accounting for basically.
Yeah, and I had a client who, I think her calories were like around 2,000 or less, but when she factored in all of her alcohol from the weekend before, it was like 3,800, and we were like, oh, no wonder we didn't see the scale go down, you know? Because we have to be sure to track all of that and see what your average calories are for the week.
Yeah, and so to do some of those things, you know, that we're talking about, guys, to avoid some of those mistakes, and really just to set your guys' selves up for success, you know, we have a couple points here that we think could really help some of you out there. One thing that we know helps us be consistent and, you know, just be successful in general is ordering our groceries the same day every week. Like, we know that Sunday is the day we do our grocery haul. We get everything we need for the week, and it's pretty much everything we need to a T for that week. So we pretty much just reload week to week. It makes it really easy. You know, I know a big, you know, mistake a lot of people make is buying a ton of stuff at the grocery store and like half of it going bad.
That's me, I know, when I met you.
Yeah.
I was shopping for four and it was just one girl living by herself throwing all of it away at the end of the week.
Yeah, like I love my parents, but they do that all the time. Well, they'll buy way too much. But anyway, we know that that helps us so much, just like really planning out what it's going to, and the more you guys do it, and the more, you know, you eat similar foods and similar combinations of foods, it makes it really easy to do that, to really just plan in bulk for the week, get everything you need, eat it all, you know, consume it all that you've got, and then obviously reload the next week. So that we know that that's something that helps a lot. Bulk prepping foods ahead of time can also be something that helps, whether you, you know, get foods from a meal prepping service. You know, we talk about Visionary Meals in our intro, and that helps, I know, me a lot when I'm on the fly at the gym. I try to put the meals in a dish whenever I microwave them. Obviously, just so you're not like melting the plastic. I know they're, most of them are microwavable, but you know, just to be safe, it's good to do that. That's something I've been doing as well with the meals. But whether, you know, you do it or a company does it, that'll help, you know, prepare you ahead of time and get the amount of food that you need ahead of time versus, you know, being on the spot and being like, you know, stuck, and then you got to go out to eat or you have to go get fast food, whatever it may look like.
Yeah, and for example, obviously I work from home, so I have more time to cook, but, well, compared to Zach, but also I have Zoom calls and all these things, like, back to back to back, so I don't have time to, like, grill a salmon filet in the middle of the day or cook chicken from, like, raw to cooked, you know, between meals. So it helps us, like, today we just cooked all of our chicken thigh at once, what we were going to eat for lunch, and then the rest will go in a container, so that's ready to go. I can pull from it for lunch, for like salads and stuff. And then the same for salmon, like Monday we'll just cook a couple fillets so that we have it like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we redo that Wednesday night versus doing it every single day on the spot. So like cooking your proteins in bulk helps so much, so much, even if you work from home or you work out of the house. The next one is giving yourself a little bit of wiggle room. I see a lot of people give up on themselves or overcomplicate their nutrition because they went, you know, over their calories by 10. They think today's a total L. I'm just going to throw it out the window and continue eating outside of moderation. So I give myself and my clients a little bit of wiggle room just so you know that you can make progress without being perfect.
Yeah.
And the main thing I do here is like, okay, if you can't hit your full macros, can you hit calories and protein? And this kind of applies to like weekends or during the week. If you have your day pre-logged perfectly and someone asks you to go to dinner, we don't want you guys to be like so restrictive, eat clean all the time. That's obviously not realistic. So if you can't hit full macros, try and hit calories and protein for that day. And then plan C, coming after that, is just calories only. If you hit your calories, like that's going to equal weight loss or weight gain if that's your goal. But if you have that little bit of wiggle room, like I don't have to be perfect. If I can't hit full macros, if I hit my calories, I'm going to see progress. And I give myself and clients a little bit of wiggle room where if you're 100, basically 150 calories from your goal, you're within that success range. You're close enough to that calorie deficit. Obviously, don't abuse this. Use it when needed. And then if you're basically tracking macros, this is the part you want to pay attention to. Plus or minus 10 grams from your carb and protein goal. So if my protein goal is 140, if I was at 130, that's technically a win. Obviously, I'll try everything I can to hit my protein goal. I usually go over, but that's just an example. And then fat is more calorie dense per gram. So that wiggle room or success range is basically 5 grams away from your goal.
Yeah, and it just really helps you guys not develop that all or nothing mindset, because that can be what kills you going into extremes. Like I know that was me before, where I was significantly under eating and under consuming, you know, and then you'd have days that were ridiculously, you know, excessive basically. So next we're going to talk about basics of building a meal and really, you know, how you guys should, you know, build your meals when it comes to a protein standpoint, as well as, you know, a veggie, fat source, and complex carbs. So, you know, at least 30 grams of protein for the females out there per meal, and for men, you know, at least around, you know, 40 grams. That should be your goal. Obviously, you know, for a lot of you guys, it'll be vastly different depending on, you know, your specific body type, activity level, physique, things like that. So there's obviously going to be some variation there, but that's just a really good rule of thumb, because you got to think, as it pertains to the overall goal of the day, you got to be hitting around that for both, you know, male and females. And like we talked about, really getting a veggie, a fat source, and those complex carbs are really, really important. They're going to keep you full. You know, we talk about that all the time, how the oats, sweet potatoes, quinoa, those are obviously staples in, you know, what we consume on a daily basis. And those really help you, you know, stay full, stay satiated, you know, and they're really good, you know, if you find variations that you actually enjoy. And that's what it really comes down to. We're going to talk about that more and more, but we say a lot, you guys got to find, you know, what you actually enjoy. You know, take these food sources, take some of these ideas and start making them your own. You know, we're giving you the tools from a broad standpoint, but you can take some of these things, some of these foods, and really combine them and think about, you know, how would you, you know, imagine yourself consuming things like this, you know, replacing the carbs, the fats, the proteins.
Yeah, as always, take what you need. But this one really helps a lot of my clients, like, build this strong foundation. And myself, obviously, you go on, like, a vacation. And if you're not in control of your food all day, like, if you focus on getting a protein at every meal and kind of structuring every meal with a protein, fat, and carb source that's, you know, more complex if we can. But obviously, it helps you travel and still stay on track just by having protein at every meal. You're doing 1% better than the old you on a vacation. Mm-hmm. That's what helps keep you full and just, you know, stay the course when it comes to travel and just being social, which brings us to our last one, which is, you know, you don't have to be 100% clean eating all the time. That's not what we do. That's not what we recommend. We've done it in the past and it never lasts long. So obviously vacations are going to happen. Happy hours will happen. Birthdays, anniversaries, like life doesn't stop just because you decide you're going to start your health and fitness journey. So you have to find a way to fit it into your lifestyle, which is why we recommend the 80-20 lifestyle. We'll kind of give an example of, like, this weekend was kind of a perfect 80-20 balance for us. But what we basically aim for here is, you know, what are goal foods? I'm going to list off some examples of goal and soul foods, basically clean and processed foods, whole and processed foods. For goal foods or whole food sources, you know, all your protein sources, basically chicken, turkey, egg whites, eggs, and then the fruits, the vegetables, nuts, olive oils, those healthy fats, and then those complex carbs we talked about. So rice, potatoes, oats, quinoa, which, you know, basically our meals are all whole unprocessed foods, because on the weekends or like at night, you know, that's when the more processed food or soul food comes in, which includes more frozen or processed foods, protein bars, even considered, because a lot of them have a lot of sugar in there, kind of glorified candy bars, dried fruits, baked goods, so like fried food, alcohol is a soul food or processed food, cereal, candy, soda, ice cream, mm-hmm. basically. Those things you want to have in moderation, but they're not off limits. Otherwise, you'll eat clean Monday through Friday, and then on Saturday, you eat a whole tub of ice cream, and then you restart over a Monday. That's like right. The cycle we've all been on, I feel like, all of our lives. So kind of how we like structured, like Friday, for example, we had our go-to meals for breakfast, lunch, and for dinner, we went out to a restaurant. We typically looked the menu up beforehand, and we had like good food, a glass of wine. That's like the soul food for the day. And then we just, you know, went to bed happy. We didn't overdo mm-hmm. anything. And it's just another day. It's not like a special occasion. It's the weekend. We can go all out. We still live the 80-20 lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure. Just finding that balance. And it's really hard. It takes a lot of time. It takes, you know, finding routines, finding foods that, you know, work for you guys, and, you know, how to handle yourselves when you do go out, when you do, you know, decide to splurge a little bit. And kind of basing off of what Christina talked about with the goal food versus soul food, it kind of makes me just think about my football experience. You know, as an athlete, I know I, you know, was brought up in the age of basically like eat anything for performance purposes, you know, eat whatever, you just got to fuel your body. You got to get a ton of nutrients. And, you know, while that may be the case and potentially work for someone like Michael Phelps, you know, it doesn't really work for all athletes. You know, it's a prescription that basically promotes excessiveness in general. You know, let's make sure we're always constantly fueled, versus, you know, being smart, taking a little bit extra time and effort to figure out, you know, what does that really look like? Because we can still hit, you know, high caloric amounts, high carb amounts, you know, if you're a very high active athlete, but filling in the gaps with things that are whole, that are minimally processed, that are healthy foods like we've talked about, you know, this whole entire time? Because I know for me as a former athlete, that was a big frustration and why I think we do a lot of athletes a disservice, because when people leave that ecosystem, they then go out into the real world and they pretty much don't change a thing about what their eating habits look like. Then you're, you know, over consuming, you're gaining all this weight because that activity, you know, isn't there anymore. It's gone. And so it's just a very basically unsuccessful process for most people as they transition out, which I wish more programs, you know, and more athletes out there were knowledgeable so that you could, you know, fuel your body in a healthy way, but still hit, you know, some of those calories, some of those carbs and things like that. Because I know that's what a lot of coaches and other individuals, you know, in those ecosystems focus on is, you know, getting the quick fuel, getting the quick, you know, sugar hit or
glycogen hit. Give an example of what your typical day looks like. So when you tell me the food you guys were provided, it blows my mind that you're like your most peak athletic performance. So like just give an example of like what the soul food that you had was.
Yeah, like we had some obviously healthy options in like the little cafeteria we had in the facility. Like there were some healthy options, some not so much, like more processed versus whole. And then a lot of like fast food to go. So we'd always have like to-go snacks and it'd be like, you know, a pizza, like a Jet's pizza, something like
fried
that.
Fried chicken,
things like that. And while, you know, I understand their intention there, I understand, you know, a lot of people are picky about what they eat. You know, they try to get guys who are under eating to eat more. And how do you do that? Get foods that people enjoy, that people will, they know are going to eat this food. You know, yeah, not volume foods. So I understand the intention there. I just really do think that if you took it, you know, the extra length, you know, because a lot of these guys, they're going to listen to whatever the coaches say anyway. So, you know, if they're starting to change in their culture, you know, where they're shifting focus more so on eating healthy, eating more whole foods and things like that, people are going to listen. The players are going to listen. So I just think, you know, just based off of the way that I, you know, feel, move, and perform now, I'm definitely like living testimony now. Like I'm the strongest I've probably ever been, even compared to what I was as an athlete. I feel better than I've ever felt before. And I know it's a, you know, it's testimony to what I consume every single day. And I truly, truly am a firm believer. Like you can still have, you know, those performance gains happen, you know, in your athletic career, while also making a little bit extra effort to making sure that, you know, those, that high amount of calories and that high amount of carbohydrate intake is in fact made up of healthy whole foods, minimally processed.
Exactly. And I think a huge part of, you know, your 80-20 split is like it heavily impacts your body composition, your energy, and your performance. Like even us as non-athletes, like your performance in your workouts is dependent on what your body's fueled with. You know, think about like a car getting fueled with gas. You want to put like premium gas into your body because then you operate and get from A to B with more energy and better performance and, you know, all in one piece basically. So what we kind of want to get the point across here is that no matter what, you know, with your nutrition, you will not lose weight unless you're in a calorie deficit. You will not gain muscle or weight unless you're in a calorie surplus. So by tracking, you're able to have a better picture of where you're at in the realm of that. So just like Stacia said on our financial podcast a couple weeks ago, you don't know where you're at with your savings or your budget if you're not tracking. Same with your calories. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to your body composition, your energy, and how you show up in the world and in your workouts, that's dependent on goal food versus soul food. So we kind of want to give a little picture of that. And we hope that, you know, you guys took a lot from this podcast. We share a lot of nutrition info. We share our meals on our stories and things like that. So if you're not following us on Instagram, you found our podcast on that podcast store somewhere, we'll put our Instagrams below. And if you guys have any nutrition questions, you know, we're personal trainers, you know, both in person and online. So if you have any questions, you guys know where to find us.
Yeah, reach out.
Yeah. So we hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Any nutrition questions, you know where to reach us. But don't forget to subscribe, share, and review the podcast below. And we will see you guys next week.
Peace out.